Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. The Bible says I was glad when somebody said, hey, got an idea. Let's go to the house of the Lord. I said, oh, that made me glad to hear that. So I hope you're glad to be here. I hope you're glad at every opportunity to be with God's people. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Well, today I want to talk to you about something very important to me. And I think it will be to you as well. And it's a prophetic word that the Lord's laid on my heart. It's a little different kind of thing, but it is prophetic, and it is to share with you a revelation, a truth that is often ignored or neglected, or just people don't know about it. And the Lord has laid on my heart, and it comes from multiple scriptures, but I'm just going to use a sample in the book of Revelation, since this is a prophetic word this morning. Chapter 5 of Revelation, and then also in chapter 8. And the title that I'm putting on this message is Yesterday is Not Gone. Yesterday is not gone. There was a famous song years ago, One Day at a Time. I love the song. Sounds good. And I know what the cliche means is yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. And in that song, it says yesterday is gone and tomorrow may not be mine. How depressing is that? One day at a time, Lord Jesus. And I understand that. And it has its place. But I want you to look in Revelation chapter 5 with me, and I want you to see that there is an aspect of yesterday that we must not allow to be gone. In chapter 5 and verse 4, it said, "And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." This is the scroll in Revelation that has seven seals, and every time a seal is removed, things, calamities happen on earth in the tribulation period. And so John is seeing this vision in heaven. And there's the scroll, but nobody is worthy to unloose each of the seven seals. And so he wept because he knew that the scroll represented the future. It represented the prophecies that had been gone on before by the prophets. And unless the scroll was open, these events would not take place. It's only as the scrolls or the seals are removed that these events take place. And these events are God's will. These are great deeds and works of God in the last days. And John saw that no one was worthy to make it happen today. And the scroll is waiting to be opened at the time that John is seeing this. And one of the elders said unto me, John is saying about himself, one of the elders said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." The Lion is there, and he's worthy to now do that. And so, weep not, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy. He will do it. And so I beheld, John says, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood, now he was told, a lion. Behold, look at it's the lion. Behold, the Lion is going to do this today. When he looks, he doesn't see the lion. He sees something else. Follow me. He sees a lamb. And the lamb is from yesterday. The lion is today. The lion is the one that's going to do. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but in the vision, John is seeing this presently, in his present time. Inside the vision, the scroll is ready, but no one is worthy. Until the message comes, the lion is here. Behold, he's here. The lion is here. He looks and he sees yesterday. Here it is. There in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been. The lamb as it had been. That's the past. That's the cross. It's even before the cross. Look at this. As it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And then in chapter 6, the lion or the lamb, which is it, begins to remove the seals. It says the lion has prevailed to do it. It's actually going to be the lion to do it. But the lion yesterday was the lamb. And so what the lamb did, even before the foundation of the world, but certainly before John sees this vision around 99 AD. At around 30 AD, the lamb was slain and hung on a cross. So, and then before that, even before the foundation of the world, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was delegated to be the lamb, even before the worlds were created. The second person of the Godhead was ordained to be the lamb. And in time and space and history, Jesus came and was crucified. And he was the Lamb of God, according to John the Baptist, that takes away the sin of the world. Decades later, John sees a lion, or hears of the lion. He looks and he sees something out of the past. So you see, the past in John's case, in this example, yesterday was not gone. There is a tie, there's a connection between what God has done in the past and what we are experiencing today. And we forget because we're so immediately, an immediate context of is what we generally see. We pray in the morning and then we look for something really immediate to happen. And a lot of the prayers were prayed for you and by you yourself long time ago have been pretty much forgotten. As John was on the Isle of Patmos, decades after the cross, it could be that John would just see those things that were relevant to his day. But no, what was happening in the vision was tied to the lamb. The lion was the lamb. And the lamb was going to be the lion. And there's a connection between the past and the present. And it goes on, it says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, which was God the Father. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, before the Lamb. So it is the Lamb, but it was the Lamb as it had been slain, okay, in the past. Having every one of them harps, the four beasts and the 24 elders around the throne, they have something in their hands. As these events are unfolding and the will of God is about to take place in the vision and the seals are about to be removed in chapter 6, something very interesting in the hand of the four beasts and the 24 elders around the throne. Every one of them had harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. There's the application for us. Somehow God has chosen to preserve. My mom used to preserve a lot of the vegetables by canning. And what was on the dinner today, on the dinner table today, was food that she had grown months or maybe even a previous year. But she had canned them, she had bottled them, and put them on the shelf. And so the past provided for the present. It wasn't that she went out and planted the green beans, and then that night we had beans on the table. Those green beans that we enjoyed were canned beans from another day, from yesterday. And the benefits of what had been sown and developed and preserved a long time ago are now enjoyed by the family in the present. The lamb was slain in order that the lion may be active and working today. And so yesterday is not gone. We are tied to momentous events and deeds and works that God has done in the past. We are also tied to prayers that we've prayed that we've already forgotten. We're tied to promises that we've made and we forgot that we promised God certain things. We've had prophecies gone over us individually as well as the church, and we forget those. And I just tell you today that God has not forgotten those things. Yesterday is still plugged in to the agenda of God. What God does today is tied to what happened in our past, much of which we've forgotten. And I can't recall all of them. It's almost impossible not to forget even important things. So I want the prophetic word or the prophetic aspect of this word is to let you know that you are tied to promises and prophecies and prayers. Those three P's. You are tied to them in your present. When you get up in the morning and you face your day, you have the confidence that you are tethered to the promises of God. You are tethered to the prayers that have been prayed over you and that you've prayed for yourself. And God is working today based on the investments and the sowing that has already happened. Your prayers, many of them did not be, they were not promised, or they were not answered, I should say, in the very day that you prayed them. Some of them were bottled up. Some of them were canned, and they're on the shelves of heaven. And on this day, the beast and the elders took those bottles of prayers, and it became part of the preparation of removing those seals. And when you look in chapter 6 at what happened, every time a seal was removed, these are big things that are to come on the earth. There's still future. In the vision, it was John's present. But the Bible reveals that as a part of the permission or the authorization of these seals to be removed, it was not just the lamb that was worthy, the lion that was worthy, because he had been the lamb and he was still the lamb, but he's also the lion. But a part of that, other than the worthiness of the lamb to do it, is the fact that our prayers are involved in it. We're praying, are we not? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I believe a lot of those kinds of prayers are bottled up in heaven. And the day is going to come that the angels or the elders and the beasts will take them off the shelf, just like my mom did the beans, the green beans. And they're going to approach the golden altar in heaven. And as the incense comes up, they're going to pour out those prayers. And a lot of those prayers, people forgot they even prayed them. God is not like us. Prayer is a very important thing to God, never to be forgotten. People forget and assume, well, God didn't answer it. Well, he didn't then. But many prayers are bottled to be poured out later. And at the moment they're poured out is not the moment that the prayers were created. The prayers were created long time ago. The prophecies that God has given to us, we may forget them. We may swap them for newer prophecies. We may study something and then we just kind of lose interest and we pick up something else. But God has not forgotten his prophecies. God has promised. He doesn't forget them. God keeps his word. And he remembers ours. The day will come, the Bible says, that we'll give an account of every word that we've ever said. So they must be recorded. They must be canned. Our words are canned and preserved later to be taken out and reviewed at the judgment. So, and then chapter 8, we see this. We see even more details of this. Let's go to Revelation 8, starting with verse 1. Look at this. And when he had opened the seventh seal, okay, so all the seals now have been opened. There was silence in heaven. There's a little interlude between the seals and the trumpets for 30 minutes. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So now we go trumpets. And again, every trumpet unleashes things on earth that are momentous, calamities and judgments and tribulations and wrath to be poured out upon this earth. And yet heaven is in control. Just like no seal was removed until somebody was worthy to do it. And there was only one person worthy, and that was the Lamb, who is the Lion. Likewise with the trumpets. It has to be authorized. The Antichrist doesn't authorize the trumpets. The false prophet has nothing to do with the trumpets. The trumpets, like the seals, are things that are authorized in heaven. Heaven rules what happens here. The Antichrist can't even come until it's given to him power. And so he sees the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Notice this angel again, very similar to chapter 5. Before the seals, we saw this, and now before the trumpets. Having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, again, before the altar, that he should offer it, the incense, with the prayers of all saints. So now the trumpets are going to blow, yes, because the word in heaven says, prepare to sound. Prepare to sound. But also, before that, we see the prayers of you and me. Now, when were those prayers prayed? Oh, at various times throughout history. John himself said, oh, Lord, come quickly. 2,000 years ago, John said, Lord, come quickly. John's prayer, you could say, well, hadn't happened. And that's true. It hasn't happened yet. The Lord hadn't come yet. 2,000 years ago, or a little less than that, towards the end of the century, he said, oh, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. And then John died, and he never saw the Lord come. He saw it in the visions. He saw it unfold, but he never saw it himself. But how many of you think and believe that the prayer that John prayed in the very last chapter of his book, how many of you believe that that prayer will be answered? Well, so it is with you. And God wants me to tell you this, that He is going to do things that have been authorized a long time ago. That you're going to experience things that have nothing to do with the prayers you prayed this morning. Your destiny is going to be determined largely by what has already been put in the bucket. There are things that have been determined over your life that have already been invested, and the seed has already been sown, and they are in heaven ready for the word to go blow the trumpet. Take that seal off, yes. And as a part of that word, intermingled with the word of God, are the prayers of His saints. All saints. That means me and you, right? When you say, Lord, bless my life. When you say, Lord, take care of my kids. You said that a long time ago. People have come to the altar and prayed things and cried and shed tears on the altar, and they get, and when in a little while they forgot. What did I say? That's why I think it's good to come to the altar, because it's something harder to forget, at least for a little while. Think about how many times you've been to the altar. Think about how many times you've asked God for things. Think about how many times you said, God, bless my life. And we don't even maybe know what that means. Maybe it wasn't specific, like, Lord, I need $100. That's real specific, and you pretty well know if you got the $100 or not. But if you say, Lord, bless my life, that's so subjective. Now, if you said, Lord, I need $1,000, it'd be harder for you to forget that one. It's either you got the $1,000 or you didn't. It's a yes or no or not yet. Not yet. But we pray things like, God, teach me your word. God, I give you my life. I dedicate myself to you. And we may not follow up on that. We may even forget it because there's so many of them. And so I'm not asking you to recall everything. It's impossible. You cannot recall all the things that you said to God and the promises that you made. And you cannot remember, I'm sure, all the words that went over your life. If you were raised in a Christian home, if you had Christian parents or grandparents, I tell you, you've been prayed over. It came to me not too long ago again, and I'd thought about this a long time ago, but it came to me again. And it's kind of what precipitated this message. That I began to connect the dots between the good things and the positive things and the blessings of God that I've had the privilege of receiving. I began to connect the dots with people that have been dead for a long time. They're gone, but it's like God showed me their prayers are still active. They've been canned and they're good. They didn't get old. Those green beans will last a long time. And when mom cooks them up, you'd think they just came out of the garden. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Boy, we had garden food growing up. Sometimes she'd freeze them. Sometimes it was canned, depending on the vegetables. But much of my food was stuff that was brought forth out of the garden a long time ago. And so it is with your life today with God. I want you to know that yesterday is not gone. Now, you want your sins of yesterday to be gone, and that's a part of the word as well. They are gone. If you've confessed your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He throws our sins as far as the east is from the west. So that part of our yesterday is gone. But we need to anchor our faith and anchor our love and our service to God to things that have already been spoken, have already been declared. There are blessings coming to you not because you deserve it today. It's because God heard the prayers of somebody that loved you, and He's going to do it no matter what you do. There are some of us that are not dead because somebody prayed for us. People not in hell, because they're the benefactors of investments that went into their lives a long, long time ago. Someday these events of Revelation are going to take place. And when they do, it'll be good to know we invested in that. We have a part in that. Not on the day that it takes place. On the day it takes place, you just watch it happen. Wow, there He is. Every eye will see Him. How is it that I'm enjoying such a wonderful thing? And these dead bodies are popping up all over the place. All those who are dead in Christ coming out of the graves. I'm not doing anything at that moment. I've already done it. All throughout church history, the saints of God have prayed, "Oh Lord, come quickly." We have prayed, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We've committed our way to the Lord, and He promised, "I will bring it to pass." So when God does all of these things, we see under the ground there are roots that go real deep. It's not a shallow thing. It's not a flippant thing that God does today. God does that which is anchored and rooted in yesterday. We're not an afterthought. God doesn't wake up today and think, "I wonder what my will is." His will has been declared since the foundation of the world. We're tied and rooted and grounded in revelation and prophecy and the word and the promises of God, the Bible says, are yea and amen. And if you forget it, then when it happens, you're going to be surprised, perhaps, and you don't even know where it's coming from. And today's message is, I just want you to know where it's coming from. Because I think we do need to remember at least the truth that God is faithful to His Word and He will bring it to pass. And we can trust Him. And the things that we've forgotten, we can't recall them, we just say, God, I commit all of those prayers that I don't even remember. And the words of my mouth, if I misspoke, if I prayed out of Your will, Lord, I just pray that be gone. But those things that I prayed in faith, those serious, gut-wrenching, heartfelt intercessions and prayers that I had prayed in the past that I don't even remember, I believe You are still in control of them in heaven. And they have been bottled up. And one day, they'll be poured out upon that great golden altar that is before the throne of God. And the incense will come up into the nostrils of our Father. And the coals off the fire, off the altar will be thrown into the, where? To the earth. And again, what heaven ordains is fulfilled on earth. And you had a part of that. Your part was yesterday. The things you do today, because we are to keep sowing and keep praying and keep believing, keep receiving His word. But just remember the farmer. He sows today and he reaps tomorrow. Well, can I reap today? Oh, yeah, you can reap today, but you're going to reap. You got to reap from yesterday. You can't reap from today. I mean, God can do it instant. You could pray it right now and it happened. We see examples of that. Instantaneous response from God. That's true. But this prophetic word today is for you to trust the God of your yesterday. And do not think that because you have let go of it, that God has. God blesses us sometimes and we don't even know where it came from. Just like, oh boy, God just out of the blue decided to bless me. I want to tell you something that I believe with all my heart. The blessings that you receive today have a time stamp on them. There's a time stamp. You look at a photograph. One popped up on my Facebook page today. And a video. And that video was from 9 years ago. I didn't even remember I'd posted it. It was a little video of Preston with his guitar. And he was letting one of the twins strum it with a pick. And he was chording it with his hand. And Preston was singing. And one of the twins was strumming the guitar. That was from 9 years ago. Well, it just popped up. Well, I see how much younger Preston looked. And I see, well, that's one of the twins. Now, I don't know which twin it was. But he's just a little toddler. And they're sitting on the bed and... when I saw that picture, I remembered. Ooh. Now, I don't remember the date. I don't remember the specifics. But I remember when that happened. It was in a hotel room. And I remember, I guess I took the video or maybe Jana did. But when that popped up today, I realized that that was a live event, not today. Now, I'm enjoying the memory today. I'm looking at it. I'm enjoying it. I played it again. That's so cute. I'm just like, oh, that's so cute. That's so cute. And I'm enjoying it, but there's no confusion about that. There's no thought that all of this happened today. Obviously, time has transpired. And the value of that event 9 years ago was still valid today, this morning when I saw it. I felt this morning like I did as I remembered when it happened live. We see pictures that are rooted and grounded in previous dates. And they've been preserved. They've been canned to be brought out, to be enjoyed. I enjoy almost every day I look at Holy Land pictures from our last trip. I just love it. And I relive it. And I have flashbacks of feelings that I had when we were there on the Temple Mount or wherever. That moment has been preserved to be enjoyed over and over and over again. And with pictures and those kind of things, with history and things that have been recorded or chronicled some way. And we understand the connection that yesterday with that is not gone. No. It is not gone. This word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword today, just as it was. And really, when you read this word, it's a record of history and it's a record of the future. And it doesn't matter if it was Grandpa 100 years ago or if it's me today or our children or grandchildren tomorrow. This word of God has not gotten old. It's still current. It's still up to date. It's still powerful. The blood of Christ, 2,000 years ago, you'd think it dried up by now. The blood of Christ flows, and we enjoy the blood of Christ and the benefits of the blood. The name of God, the name of Jesus is still powerful, but it was given so long ago. And yet we bank on it and we draw from it. I want to encourage you to not let go of those engagements that you've had with God in the past, as you've received from Him and as you've talked to Him and prayed, as you've heard the promises and the prophecies. The Bible says that we should hang on to those, to give the most earnest heed to those things of the past, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews chapter 2. Give the most earnest heed to those things that are in the past, lest at any time, now or in the future, we would let them slip. To let them slip. Wouldn't do it intentionally. It just slips away. Slips away. But the day will come that all those things that are in the shadows and things that have been forgotten will come to pass. Paul told Timothy that he should fight a warfare. How should he fight? In 1 Timothy 1, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. So Timothy is charged by Paul to fight today based on the prophecies that were given to him in the past. Paul expected Timothy not to forget that. We're going to fight. What are our weapons? Things that are in the past. That thou mightest by them. By what? Prophecies that went before. By them you might war a good warfare. Chapter 4, 1 Timothy, Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands. Think about how many times you've had hands laid on you. Well, I've forgotten. Don't remember the specifics. Don't remember the dates. I remember some of them. Paul is telling Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you now based on the prophecies or the laying on of hands that happened in the past. These are weapons. In 2 Timothy, he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, and that's what we're talking about. I put thee in remembrance, 2 Timothy 1:6, that thou stir up the gift of God. Which gift should I stir up? Which is in present tense. Look at that wall. Which is presently in thee by the putting on of my hands. And based on the 1 Timothy, that was previously done. That's why he says you have to remember, because this is something of the past. But it's relevant because he's fighting the warfare today based upon the laying on of hands that was in the past. The psalmist says, bless the Lord right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget not. all his benefits. Many scriptures, I will not go over those, but there are many that admonish us to remember, that we are to remember. Jude reminds us to remember. John 16, Jesus tells us to remember. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he's going to come and he's going to teach us all things and bring to our remembrance, the things which were said. I wished I could remember everything. I don't know what to do. If we have to remember perfectly in order for the promises of God to be activated, I'm in real trouble. And that's why we must say, God, I commit the past, whatever it is, the parts I remember and the parts that I've forgotten. I know you, O Lord, have never forgotten one thing that I've ever said to you. When I've prayed for old Joe, you still got that. I don't even know where Joe is. Forgot I even prayed for him. Saw him the other day. I thought, man, I remember praying for that guy. Well, he's alive. So praise God. I wonder what happened to old Joe, you know? But I remember praying for him.